God's a good God, amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's just amazing how good God is and, you know, what he's doing. I mean, I just heard even a few testimonies this week from some messages I did on healing. And just it was just awesome. Just kind of share a testimony. We had a gentleman who actually came to our Winter Bible Seminar here a few weeks ago. In fact, that message was on TV last week, if some of you watched our Aim of Praise show. And he was there Friday night at Winter Bible Seminar. I ministered. And he had cataracts. Some people mix that up or whatever. He had cataracts in both eyes. And he actually, you know, had surgery, thought it would be better. And for whatever reason, something happened after surgery. And he might be a little bit better, but he still had trouble seeing. In fact, at our main church, we have screens way bigger than the ones we have here and actually better quality. And he says, I couldn't even read the words on the screen. I mean, that's, his eyes were pretty bad. And so he came in the healing line, and afterwards he came up and he gave a testimony immediately. He said, I can read this, everything's fine. And so he went back, and just like we encourage everyone to do, he went back and saw his doctor, ophthalmologist or whatever they are, that did the surgery. And the doctor actually told him what happened. He says that I guess whenever they did the surgery, that I don't know if it's a lens or what it is, but it says it was supposed to be like flat, like clear and flat against the eye. But it said there were wrinkles in yours, and that's why you couldn't see, because of the wrinkles in your eye. Not wrinkles in his face, but wrinkles in his eyes. I'm just joking, kind of trying to be funny. And so, we don't know why, but those wrinkles, they're no longer there anymore. Because obviously he knows why, but they don't know why. It just suddenly, it straightened out. It was like someone just took like a saran wrap or whatever, just like straightened it all out. We don't know how that happened, but he did. And so it's just great to hear those testimonies, and God, we've had great testimonies right here in this church, but God's doing great things, and he wants to heal us. He wants to set us free. He wants to deliver us. And that kind of brings me to my sermon tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to read, I've been doing it more and more. My dad switched over a lot, but reading from the New Living Translation. And one reason why is because it kind of puts it in a little modern language for us, and sometimes a little easier to understand than even the New King James. Now, there are some scriptures, I like to read the King James Version, because it's just some, I memorize it that way, and I've heard some people said, Jesus preached in the King James, so did Paul, so I do too. Obviously, Paul didn't preach in the King James, and neither did Jesus, so they're lying. Anyway, liars go to hell. All right, I'm just joking. As you guys know, I'm not always serious all the time. All right, Acts chapter 3, and we'll just go ahead and start with verse number 1. Peter and John, these were two of the disciples. It says they went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. All right, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. So understand that this man had never walked. Okay, I want you to understand that this guy was born this way. And because I'll get to that in a minute. Anyways, lame from birth and was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked him for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with him. And I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Now think about this. This man had never walked. All right. Has anybody ever had a child before or a grandchild? Anybody? Three of you? We got a lot of liars here. Okay. Anyone ever had a little brother, a little sister? Now, anyone ever seen a toddler trying to learn to walk? Obviously, you know, they get up and they do the scooting thing and they're, you know, hold on to tables and sometimes hit their head on the coffee table, which is always one of the scariest points in time in your baby's life whenever, because coffee tables have like end points. Now they have like some rubber stuff you can put on there or whatever. Anyway, they look terrible, but it save your kid's head. But, you know, at first that they grab a hold and then they'll take two steps and, you know, eventually they'll walk. But now this guy never had walked before. And immediately he stood up and he began not only walking, but leaping and praising God and running around. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. I mean, I broke my ankle one time and was in a cast. Actually, I was in a cast. Now, I'm not sure why when you break an ankle, I had a cast from, you know, from my ankle all the way up to here. I'm not sure why. All right. So my knee was in a cast for 4 weeks. And then after that 4 weeks, they actually gave me a cast right here. And so it was lower. So after 4 weeks, this knee had never moved except for it was kind of crinkled the way they did it. And, you know, it was interesting. The, you know, that knee hadn't moved in 4 weeks. And for whatever reason, I was trying not to move it. When I got in my dad's car, it bent down and it hurt. You know, and it was, and I had to, that, you know, I had to try to work it out and get used to the, you know, knee moving again or whatever. But think about this. If your legs have never worked, your ankles have never worked, it's just a miracle that you can actually even stand up, much less leap and jump around and run around. I mean, because it takes a while to learn your balance. And, you know, many of us don't think about this because we learned to walk, you know, a long time ago. And some, you know, ever heard the phrase, it's just like riding a bike. You can just do it over and over again, even though you've never done it in a long time. You know, but think about this. This man had never walked before. You know, and now think about how scary it would be to get up if you never got up. I mean, he's never stood up, ever. And it goes on. We'll finish this, and then we'll kind of go back. It says, verse number 9, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was lame, he was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, wherever that was, where the man was, okay, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And then verse 12, I normally never read verse 12, but I decided to read it today, and I'm like, it's interesting. Verse 12 says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? You understand, it wasn't Peter and John that did anything, but say, you know what? Let me give you some of what I have. Now, interesting about it, you know, this man was not looking for somebody to help him walk. He was looking for somebody just to help him live, just to give him a, you know, a few dollars so that he might go out and buy a Big Mac or something like that. You know, he was, you know, that was the only thing he could do. Yet we have to understand, you know, what we don't realize with technology and stuff that people who can't walk and people, you know, have disabilities, they can actually work jobs. You know, they can actually, you know, live a semi-normal life. You know, they can actually drive cars, they've fixed cars up with hand controls, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's amazing. But back then you had no choice. You know, I mean, the only way that you could survive was for the goodness of everybody else, you know, just to help you out. And you know, a lot of times nowadays, it's really sad because, you know, you hear about all the con artist stories. And sometimes you always wonder whenever you're helping somebody, am I really helping them or are they a con artist? You know, but every time I see someone that could, you know, and I still help them out anyway, even if they are a con artist, you know why? Because, you know, I'm just a good person. Now, I do know in the Tulsa area, there's one place where everybody's, you know, it's like the best place to beg in the city. All right, and actually, some of my kids' friends followed this guy They stood there and they waited for him to leave, and they wanted to see, you know, what's he do after he finishes begging. So he went to a parking lot and got into his couple year old Lincoln Navigator and drove home. You know, they also, a number of years ago in the city of Tulsa, they had a brand new guy had just moved in to be a news reporter. So since nobody knew him, they figured, you know what, let's do an experiment. And they put him at one of the highways where I would think would not be a good place to beg. I figured, you know, if I was going to be a beggar, I would not be there. And, you know, just because I know, you know, where more people are, and I would pick a better position. But, you know, they put him there, and they left him there for, they had him beg for 3 days, 8 hours a day. And I can't remember how much food and how much money he got. I mean, all kinds of, they would say that some people like never eat their pizza. Like, they get a whole pizza and stuff. And so they figured it out if, you know, now he was there for a weekend, but if he would average 40 hours a week, you know, begging, that he would bring home $133,000 tax-free. So why work? Now, you know, I'm not saying, you know, there are some what we call scam artists or whatever. And, you know, that was just a news report doing some stuff. But you know what? There are people that really need money and really need help. And a lot of times, sometimes we're don't realize what we even have on the inside. Because this guy was looking for money. And I said, we don't have any money. But what we have is pretty amazing. You know, a lot of us, we think, well, you know, we're just Christians. We're not ministers. But turn with me to Mark chapter, the last chapter in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15. Now, he was talking to, Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said, and he told them, and this is red letter, I'm reading from the NLT again, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned." Then I like the way it says it. It says, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe." Now notice it doesn't say they will accompany those who are ministers. It says they will accompany those who believe. Well, what do they believe? They believe in Jesus. They believe Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And so this is what should accompany people who believe. It says, they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. I wouldn't try it, but anyway. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And so a lot of times, we try to cop out and say, well, you know what? I'm not really a minister. Well, you know, if you are, you know, many people are like, well, I'm a follower of Christ. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you should do what Jesus did. Now, I like the scripture where it says that he went around doing good. That was the first thing it says. Then they talk about preaching, teaching, and healing. Now I always say, you know, the first thing you can do is good. You know, everybody loved Jesus. It was interesting. People flocked to him because he was a good person. Well, so should you be a good person. You know, and if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, then why shouldn't you do what he did? You say, well, yeah, but I'm not a minister. Doesn't matter. It says if you're a believer, and I used to joke, you know, around sometimes. I said, you know, if you're sick, probably the best thing to do is go to the mall. Now, people want to say go to the mall. I don't say go to the mall because there's people at the mall. You know, it don't matter if there's no one anywhere else. You can find people at the mall. Someone's at the mall. If nothing else, they're walking around the mall, being mall, you know, mall walkers or whatever. You know, I would say go to the mall and talk to everybody and ask people if you believe. You know, find out. You know, I'm sure it won't take very long. And here in Oklahoma, to go to the mall and find someone who believes in Jesus. Find someone who believes and say, hey, put your hand on me and you know, I'll be healed. And they might be freaking out or whatever, but that's what the word says. Now, what's interesting part about it is most Christians, you know, they think, you know, I've seen people, I know people that have got sick and said, well, you know, I just saw, you know, the other day that brother so-and-so is coming in 3 weeks. I'm going to go there and get healed. Well, go to the mall today. Forget about going 3 weeks, you know. You know, find some believer and, you know, knock on your neighbor's doors. Find them. Surely, you know, you got to know somebody who's a believer. And you know, but, you know, the reason that you wouldn't get healed is because you don't believe that if a believer lays hand on you, you'll get healed. See, it's because you need to believe. It's all about faith.
Amen.
All right. But now, many of you, you know Todd White. He's one of my good friends. Todd White, and you know, some of if you do know him, he has dreadlocks, so he's not like your average person. Anyway, I don't know why he has dreadlocks. It's just him. Okay, he's just like that. And he's a pretty well known minister today, but he didn't set out to become a minister. You know what he did set out to do? To do the works of Jesus. He set out to go to Walmart and, you know, or wherever. He'd go to Walmart a lot because he was from a small town in Pennsylvania. And that's what you do. You go to Walmart. If you live in a small town, you go to Walmart. Anyone even from a small town? Now, I know when I was in college at Oklahoma State, there wasn't a whole lot there. We had no malls. We didn't have nothing. And I mean, so I went to Walmart almost every day. I live close to Walmart. And it wasn't even a super center. It was a small Walmart. But I was getting bored at home. I live real close to Walmart and real close to the movie theater. I saw every movie at that movie theater. Every movie. Because, you know, there's nothing else to do in Stillwater at the time except for eat pizza. Eat pizza, study, and go to Walmart. Pretty much that was my college, what I did in college. But anyway, Todd would go to Walmart because there would be people there. And, you know, he would find people that were sick, and he'd pray for them. You know, and, you know, now if you hear his story, he didn't know what he was doing half the time. And, you know, and it took a long time before he finally got somebody healed. But once it started happening, it kept happening. Now, you know, the thing about it is, now he's a minister, not because people started, you know, he started giving us, he didn't try to become a minister. He was just giving his testimony. This is how God saved me. This is what happened. And, you know, pretty soon people started coming and, you know, here, especially young people, because the guy has dreadlocks. And so it's not, you know, most ministers don't have dreadlocks and most ministers don't look like Todd. But it's just amazing to hear, you know, and to think about, you know, I know a lot of ministers. Most ministers I know wouldn't do what Todd did. Well, if you come out to my service, then I'll minister to you. But you know what? Jesus didn't just minister to people at service. You know, he went to the people.
Amen.
You know, in fact, I know we've read the story many times here, you know, about the man at the pool. I mean, he was there at the pool, and Jesus went to him and found him. Because, you know, he had nobody to, you know, to remember the story that when the water moved, the first person that got in got healed. And he had set out and said, I have no man to help me. You know, and before I can get in, somebody else gets in. And Jesus came to him and he was healed because Jesus came to him. You know, it's interesting, you know, sometimes it's, you know, even as a good Christian, we know so much, but we do so little with what we know. You know, and I'm not saying that we need to go around and you know, praying for people to be healed everywhere we go. But you know what? You know, maybe we could go around and help people. You know, maybe you don't even have to go around. You know, maybe there's somebody at work that's going through a rough time. You know, and it's real easy to say, you know, well, brother, I'm praying for you, or on Facebook to say, I'm praying for you. You know, but what about pray for them right now?
Amen.
I mean, you know, why do you have to just pray for them in your secret times in your life? You know, because I'm telling you, you know, if you're, you know, a lot, you know, we all live in the real world, all right? We all face real world stuff. You know, we face some, you know, challenges, and we all have disappointments that happen because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, some of us, we have bad days. You know, but, you know, if you're at work or if you're, you know, wherever, and you see somebody having a bad day, Why not go up and pray for them? You know, I found out, especially in Oklahoma, you know, but I would say probably in most of the United States of America, because, yes, you know, people might say whatever, but, you know, when it comes to the chips are down, people, I mean, I have Facebook friends that I went to school with, and I don't know if they've ever darkened the door of a church in their entire life. And I've known them for a long time. I tell you what, though, when things are going bad in their life, they get on there, please pray for me. You know, because it's interesting, you know, people think more about the things of God. See, they believe that God does heal. They believe that God will help them. They just don't know how to do it or whatever, and so they're trying to get somebody else to pray. But you know what? Why don't you be that somebody else, and why don't you actually just pray out loud? Well, like, but I'm in a restaurant. Who cares? I pray for a lot of people in restaurants. I've never been thrown out of one. I mean, you know, or whatever. I prayed for my waitresses. I prayed for, you know, people. You know, why not? You know, it doesn't, I mean, you know, we have freedom of speech in this country. Now, I'm not saying that we need to get as loud as we can, and, you know, and yell, you know, top of our lungs, you know, but it's okay to pray for somebody. You know, I've often thought it's kind of weird. I've seen people in my own life, you know, that they'll tell someone, well, I'll be praying for you. And, you know, half the time I think that that's a Christianese word, that they're really not praying for them. You know, in fact, I'm going to tell a story on my brother-in-law, you know, and this is not he didn't mean this or anything, but he worked at a company, a Christian company. They actually were not a church or anything, but they actually help with some church marketing or whatever, and commercials and whatever. And so they would have a devotional time, and actually they would even bring in people they didn't have like a set chapel, but they would bring in certain ministers to come and talk to the employees or whatever. But at that company, they also did kind of like a buddy system situation where you kind of team up with somebody else and you pray for them. And if you're going through a tough time or whatever, or just want to talk to someone, I mean, this was your guy, this was your person, or if it was a gal, they would have, you know, gals, you know. And so, you know, you can talk to this person and you know, and so you committed to every day pray for them and their family. And so my brother-in-law worked for this company for, you know, for a while, and then he had moved on, and we were actually at a convention in Atlanta. He hadn't worked for the company for a couple of years, and it was a Christian convention, and ran into his partner, you know, the guy who he was praying for. And so this guy says, "I'm still praying for you every day." And so my brother-in-law said, "You know, I didn't know what to say because I felt bad because I thought that I finished whenever I left the job. I thought, you know." So he almost kind of felt bad because you know what, this guy made such a commitment. It didn't matter whether Donald, he was working there anymore. He still prayed for him. So he told me, he goes, I need to pray for him and his family. You know, I haven't done it in years because, you know, but it's interesting. You know, sometimes, we get so caught up in our own self that we forget about other people that are around about us. You know, sometimes we don't notice that there's some guy begging alms or asking for help just because we're too busy doing our own thing. Too busy texting our friends or checking our Facebook site or whatever. Or, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, but sometimes we need to be aware of our surroundings. You know, my grandfather actually, he always said that he never prayed that God would bless him. Never one time he prayed for God to bless him. He said, but every day I prayed that God would make me a blessing. And he used to pray that the Lord would bring people by his path, that he could be a blessing too. And now he wasn't just talking about, see, a lot of times when we think about blessing, we think it has to be a financial blessing. But, you know, here, Peter and John, they didn't have any money. You know, and a lot of times, you know, because we don't have any money, it's interesting to watch them, you know, especially at Christmas time, you know, watch people go into Walmart or whatever and there's a bell ringer, you know, from the Salvation Army. And it's like, you know, They're like avoiding the, you know, here's the guy over here. And you're like, you don't even want to say hi to the guy because you feel bad because you don't have any money. Now they're at a disadvantage now because, you know, in the old days, people always used cash. Now most people have credit cards. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I would come out of the, of Walmart, I would bring my change and I would put it in, but then I don't have a change. My change is on my plastic here. So there's no change. And so it's, you know, But it's interesting. But now it has actually made me actually give more money to charities because I don't always have a dollar bill. You know, I don't carry change. So, you know, sometimes I give a 5, a 10, or even a 20 before. But you know what? It's interesting that we try to avoid people that are asking for money or asking for whatever. We don't even make eye contact with them. Now, I'm not saying you have to give to every charity known to man. You know, and I had to stop that because nowadays, a lot of businesses or whatever, hey, you want to donate your change to this charity or that charity? I'm thinking, you know, so I always say yes. And normally I'm thinking, but I don't even want to give that charity. You know, so you know, you don't always have to say yes. But, you know, but sometimes, you know, why not? I'm like, you know, why not? You know, if, you know, they're doing some kind of drive for this or drive for that, you know, and I don't know much about that charity, but who knows? Who cares? Man, you know, I want to know, be known as a giving person. But, you know, being a giving person is not always about giving money. And even I told you about that guy, the newscaster, not everyone gave him money. A lot of people just gave him the leftovers of their food. You know, a lot of people gave other stuff. You know, they gave what they had. But what's really pretty exciting is you have a lot. Amen. Because you have the answer on the inside. If you're a born-again Christian, you have a lot. You know, the Bible talks about forget not his benefits. We have a lot of benefits. We know a lot. You know, and I mean, you know, and a lot of times that we just walk on by. Now, I'm not saying that you have to talk to every person, you know, because back to Todd White, his wife quit going to Walmart with him. You know, and he quit, you know, to send Todd to Walmart was a 2-hour experience because he prayed for, you know, he was like walking this, hey, anyone needs prayer here, anyone needs prayer there. I mean, it's like, you know, he was like, you know, on the prowl for someone needs. I mean, you know, I've been, it's interesting. We, one of our guys that worked for us, he actually picked Todd up at the airport. He never met him. He said, man, we prayed for 5 people before we ever got out of the airport. You know, and most of the people didn't, they didn't know Todd. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know he was a minister. They didn't know what he was. They know he was some guy with dreadlocks, you know, that, you know, and it's interesting, you know, if you ask Todd will always say, you know, we always talk about how Jesus is amazing. And he is, you know, there's something about the word amazing, that Jesus is amazing, but you know what? We can do amazing things if we have an amazing Jesus. And, you know, like I said, Peter, you know, was saying, hey, it's not us anyway. You understand that it's not you ministering to anybody? And that's what we always do, you know, when we minister to the sick. And it's not me ministering. It's the Lord ministering through me. I'm just the hands. You know, I'm just the instrument that God's using. But you know, Jesus is the healer. I'm not the healer. My grandfather always say, well, you know, I can't heal, you know, a fly's eyeball or a gnat's wing, you know, in my own strength. And that we also need to understand that even when we're, you know, believing for finances or for anything, it's not about you doing anything. It's about Jesus doing everything. You know, the Bible says only believe, that all things are possible to them that believes. Amen. So what do you need to do? Just believe. I mean, really, that is, and you know, and I like Mark 11, 22 is my keynote scripture. Have faith in God. We got to believe in God. We got to believe that God is able. We have to believe, you know, our faith needs to stand in God and not in man. I mean, many times we'll hear, whether it be a physical, you know, testimony or not testimony, but a physical, you know, someone goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you have this and you have that, or maybe, you know, you open up your bills and your bills say you owe this or you owe that, you know, but the thing about it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. My faith is not in man. My faith is in God. Amen. You know, it says the things that Luke 18, 27, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. You know, and that really helps because, you know, there's been times where people say, that's impossible. Well, that's good. I mean, if it's impossible, then my God can do it. Amen. You know, the reason he can do it is because he loves us that much. You know, and it's interesting, like I said, this man was looking for money and he walked away. I'm almost amazed to think about a guy that they carried him every day. I mean, you think about this, they carried him every day to the temple. And, you know, there's a reason why the guy begged at the temple, because the people going to the temple were more likely to be generous. They're more like, I mean, you know, it's a marketing thing. I mean, I love marketing. I have a degree in accounting, but I like marketing more than I do accounting, you know, but marketing degree is not really as honored as accounting degree. But so I do nothing with accounting in our ministry. I do a lot with marketing. So this is kind of the way it is, but I have a degree. My mom has no degree, but she does accounting. I tried to help my mom do the accounting, and she's like, I gave her a really nice report, you know, because she told me she wanted a report about who we owed, what we did, you know. I gave her this, and I went to the accounting department, told them what report I wanted. I was so proud to hand it to my mom. She looked at it, she goes, I can't read this. And she took scissors and she cut it up. And she put them in envelopes. I'm like, I'm not Dave Ramsey. I mean, I went to school to learn general accepted accounting principles. I mean, this is actually against why I should, I can't do stuff like this. I mean, I can't cut them up, put them in envelopes, and I understand why you're doing it that way, because that's the way you know how to do it in a way. And so she goes, well, that's the way I do accounting. So, well, you're over accounting. Good for you. So that's how she got over accounting. Because she couldn't deal with actual accounting reports. So, but we're doing real well in our accounting department. So just, you know, give her a hand. I mean, she does a good job. You know, our accounting is not like it should be, but it works for us. A person with an accounting degree will walk into our and think, oh my goodness, I can't believe you actually do this, but it works. But anyway, I love marketing. And so, but you know, what this, you know, you don't realize that this guy was doing a good marketing principle. Let's hang out where people are, first of all, because people come to the temple, and let's hang out where people are that are, you know, that are better people. Obviously, they weren't Christian; they were Jewish, because you understand you can't, you know, Christ had just died on the cross. I mean, most people had not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior yet, but they were good Jewish people. You know, understand, Jewish people are good. I know a lot of good Jewish people that they haven't accepted Christ as a Savior yet, but they're good people. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. I've had some good conversations with some really nice Jewish people, you know. Now, I know some very generous Jewish people. So obviously he was there at the temple because he figured, you know what, it's a good place to beg. You know, it's a good place, you know, for people to feel bad for me and want to give me money. He wasn't looking to be healed. I mean, you know, in a million years, that morning when he woke up, he never thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the temple today for my last time, you know, not walking. He never thought that. It wasn't about that. You know, he was just looking for money. And, whenever he asked Peter and John, you know, sometimes it's good to ask the right people at the right time. Amen. He asked him, he said, you know, can I have a couple bucks, you know, because that's how I earn my living. It says they fastened eyes. They, for whatever reason, when they saw his face, they could see that he was hurting. They could see, you know, I mean, think about, you know, how, I mean, you know, he didn't really have much of a life. He sat there every day, you know, he's never walked. I mean, he's never played baseball. He's never ran, never played tag, never played hide and go seek. I mean, we don't even think about that kind of stuff. I mean, that we did as a child. This guy never did. You know, I mean, he never played Pinatel and Donkey or whatever because he couldn't, you know, he didn't have a wheelchair or whatever. I mean, a lot of things, you know, that he missed out on. And he sat there every day. You know, and think about this. I mean, you know, if he didn't get enough money begging, he might not eat. Do you understand? It was, you know, his survival depended upon, you know, his you know, the mercy of people, and, you know, that they would, you know, care about this guy. But then one day, he showed up at the right place at the right time and asked the right people. Amen. You know, what if wouldn't you want to be the right person? You know, how awesome it would be to be the right person and to be there for somebody who's hurting. And I'm not saying they have to get healed. I'm just saying, you know what? Like I said, you know, I pray just like my grandfather did, you know, Lord, make me a blessing. Send people across my path. You know, I want to help people. I want to be there for people. I want to be there when people are hurting because I have the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. But that one fine day, as he was there, and as he looked at Peter and John, and they, you know, and he's thinking that they're going to reach in their pocket, you know, maybe he was looking at him, he was thinking, you know what, these guys are going to give me a lot of money, because there's some kind of connection here. They're going to give me a lot of money. But what they gave him was better than money. They said, you know, we don't have any silver or gold. But here's the thing about it is, at that point in time, when they said those words, silver and gold have I none, we don't have any silver and gold, you know, he could have immediately turned away from them and started looking at somebody else. But for some reason, he didn't. He kept looking at them. Because, you know, there was something about them that they had. And I believe that's, you know, as a Christian, I think there's something about you that you should have that people, you know, I've walked down, I used to go to the mall a lot. I don't go hard to go to the mall anymore that much, you know, but it's interesting, you know, I've at the mall, I'm a people observer. I don't know. I just like to observe people. And I guess, you know, even my grandfather, here's the deal. My grandfather didn't like, I mean, he liked going to the mall. He didn't like shopping. He liked to sit in a, you know, find a place, sit down in the middle of the mall, watch people walk back and forth. And then if there was somebody else, you know, some other lady, well, if we were on the road or whatever, they would take my grandmother shopping. If there was no other lady, I would take my grandmother shopping, which is no fun either, you know, because she don't look at anything I want to look at. She, you know, she don't want to go to the electronics store. She don't want to, I mean, you know, we have to go to the makeup counter and, you know, what am I supposed to do? Try on makeup or something? You know, it's, you know, and stuff, you know, we have to go to the, you know, dress there. So it was so great when we were on the road a lot of times with the pastor's wife or somebody else was there. And I always would thank God for them. I actually especially thank God whenever I used to have to take her on the road, I would have to take her to the hairdresser, you know, and she's having trouble telling the hairdresser, you know, how she wants her hair. And, you know, she's real picky about her hair too. And, you know, it was always good with another lady that could do that. Because I really wasn't the best person, you know, for that job. I was better sitting by my grandfather on the out there. But it's interesting. He would like to sit there. And I've sat there with him a couple of times, and he just liked to watch people. I mean, he didn't talk to nobody. He would just watch people. But you know, when I've been at the mall before, I've seen people. I've seen the way they interact with other people, interact with the cashier or whatever. And I said, you know what? I bet they're a Christian. They didn't say anything why I would know. I could just sense it. You know, and I believe that we, being a Christian, I hope other people can sense it. I hope other people, you know, just, you know, can feel something. You know, I don't know if it's say feel a vibe. I don't know what it is. But I personally think that's what this man could sense something. There was something that you know, he expected it was to be money. But what he got was a whole lot better than money. But it's interesting, you know, because Peter and John really were kind of new to this, and they followed Jesus, but they, you know, we haven't read anywhere else to this point where anyone got healed under their ministry until this point in time, and maybe other people did, I don't know. But it's interesting, he says, you know what? Such as I have, give I thee. And he said, in the name of Jesus. See, it all starts with the name of Jesus. It wasn't about them. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he did. And that's amazing. I mean, he did. And it utterly changed. I mean, think about that. Think about the day after, how much better it was. that he might, he probably went to Walmart and applied for a job or something like that. He didn't have to go back to the temple. You know, he can actually work a job. He can actually, I mean, because this guy miraculously went from not walking to actually leaping and jumping and running and you know, actually could actually walk. And I mean, think about that. I mean, think about that. If that was you, or that was your brother, or your cousin, or your uncle, or I mean, think about, you know, how, and think about, you know, even the whole family that was changed around. I mean, and, but there was people that every day had, I don't know who they were, friends, family, whatever, that had to drop him off. Understand, you know, they didn't have cars back then. So I don't know if they had to roll him in a wheelbarrow. I don't know if they, you know, if they had a horse, a donkey. I don't know how he got, but they said they carried him. So they might have been actually two, you know, guys actually carrying him, you know, every day. I mean, that's a chore. I don't know how much the guy weighed, you know, but every day have to carry him to the temple. And so you know what? These guys no longer had to carry him to the temple. Think about all the stuff that changed because one guy was at the right place at the right time talking to the right people. You know, but you know, and it's so amazing. But you know what? What? And I even get mad at myself sometimes. I'm thinking, you know what? I know so much, but I actually do so little with what I know. You know, but you know, and I just think that we need to be more mindful of people around about us. You know, and I'm not saying we have to get in everyone's space either. I'm not saying we have to bother everybody. You know, and I think you know, you've always heard the term "be led." Just be led, you know, as we pray that the Lord will lead you and guide you to people who need help. And I have found out that when people are hurting, I've really never had anyone reject and say, "No, you can't pray for me." No, you know, I mean, you know, because why not? I mean, most people actually, their attitude is, you know what? I'll try anything. I mean, you know, we live in the real world, you know, where you read all these things online. Yeah, you know. You know, this is a joke, all right? But saying, well, if you take skunk snot and you mix it with apple cider vinegar and you drink it 3 times a day, you know, it'll clear up all your sinuses. I don't know if it will. I'm making this up, okay? You know, but people will be hunting skunks just to get their snot, and they can mix it with something gross like apple cider vinegar. You know, add a little lemon with that, too, you know, because it, you know, puts maybe a little bit of sugar, too, even though it's probably not good for you, but you know, make it taste a little better. I mean, I read about all the weirdest concoctions, and I'm thinking people will try that, you know, because it might work. You know what? The thing about it is, you know something that does work, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, we have something on the inside that changes lives. And understand that Peter and John, that said, in the name of Jesus, you know, walk. And he did. Why? I mean, Peter said, it wasn't me, it was all Jesus. But, you know, here's the thing. First of all, you have to have enough faith to believe that Jesus would do that. Now, I believe. I mean, he's still a miracle-working God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Jesus, it didn't stop just because the disciples passed away. You know, in fact, I mean, you know, I always, people, you know, say that kind of stuff. I point out, Paul was not a disciple. Paul wasn't even a good guy at the time. Paul was killing Christians for a couple of chapters here. You know, but something happened in Paul's life and it utterly changed Paul. And then Paul became the person who wrote most of the New Testament. And wrote so much of the things that I live by on a daily basis. I mean, he's such an awesome person, you know, to write some of the stuff, some of the things that Paul has written. It's just amazing, you know. I feel like he would be a great football coach. I mean, you know, just very, we're always victorious, you know, it's just, you know, just a great stuff. And what's amazing is how long ago those stuff was written, and you know how it still serves the same purpose today as it did then, because it was the same Jesus. You know, and I understand, you know, some of you maybe like Shakespeare or whatever, but you know what? It doesn't do any good to quote Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet. I mean, that's not helping you in your life. Now, it might help you pass a test if you're in some kind of, you know, literature class or something like that, you know, but, you know, but the Bible will change your life, and it's still life-changing. You know, and I don't care that, you know, we live in a In this city, I guarantee you, most people are going to, if you run into, they're going to say they're Christian, but most of them probably don't know the word like they should. Most of them don't even, you know, if they know a scripture, it's because someone told them, you know. But man, why don't we be Peter's and John's to our world? You know, are we afraid? And I'm not saying that you have to go around healing people. Not that they healed them, but you know, they got healed because of Jesus through them. You know, I'm not saying that. I mean, maybe you can just give a guy $5 and help them in their time of need. But maybe you can actually just pray for somebody. Now, you know what? I always do this. If I meet someone in the street, which I've done a number of times, different places, I'm very good at talking to people. I'm just kind of that kind of guy. But if I ever pray for somebody, I continue to pray for them. Now, you know, I mean, some of them do healings, not necessarily, but I'm talking about if I prayed for someone one-on-one, I continue to pray for them over and over again, even if I don't talk to them. I've actually, you know, years later, just kind of hit me one day, and I don't, maybe it was the Holy Ghost, and I just kind of remember and prayed for that guy and his family. A lot of times on the street, I don't know these people. You know, I don't, you know, a lot of times it's not that I prayed for them because I knew I was a minister either. In fact, you know what? Most of the time, in order to get the words "I'm a minister" out of my mouth, it's really hard to do. Because you know what? It turns people off a lot of times because, you know, people get, you know, they're embarrassed. You know, they haven't been to church in forever or whatever. It's not about being a minister. It's about being a nice person. It's about helping out people in a time of need. You know, it's just so let's just be more mindful of people around about us. And, you know, even if you're walking down the street and you see someone like they're halfway lost, I don't mean they're, you know, lost like they don't need direction. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes you can just tell that people are, you know, something's going on. Or maybe you see someone sitting on a park bench and their head's down in their face and they're like, you can tell they're crying or whatever. You know, how hard is it to just pray for them or just to, you know, speak to them or just, you know, just be a nice person. You know, I'm not saying that you have to be just like but Peter and John. I'm not saying you have to say in the name of Jesus, walk. But you know what? We can bring a light to a dark world. And here's the thing. You know, people want to know if the way to grow churches and a thing like that is to go out and find people that are hurting. You know, if you minister to people when they're hurting, I guarantee you they'll want to come to your church. I guarantee you they'll want to find out, you know, well, where do you find out this kind of stuff? I mean, how do you know this? You know, but God's a good God, and he's so amazing. You know, and I was reading this story this week, and that's what I want to share. I was just thinking about, you know, sometimes, you know, how many times do we walk by people? You know, how many times do we stop and, you know, not you know, I mean, just the other day, and I don't say all of you probably shouldn't do this, but I did. The other day, there was an individual came out of a restaurant, and actually, I stopped my son, and he was like, "Dad, get up! Can you get over here?" He called me. He was getting in his truck, and what happened was there was a couple there, and they ran out of gas in the restaurant. I mean, you know, in the parking lot of the restaurant, and there actually was a Quick Trip right next door to the restaurant, but unfortunately, they were building a bigger Quick Trip. I guess you don't have Quick Trips around here, but anyways, it's a convenience store. You don't have Oklahoma City area. There's a reason. I know the reason, but anyway. They were building a new one, so they were in the middle of moving from their one location to the new one, so they had closed their gas pumps off. So he went over there, and they had no gas. But they said, "I'll tell you what we'll do is we're trying to liquidate anyway. I'll just give you a gas can." And the next nearest Quick Trip, actually, gas station was a mile and a half that way. So, you know, he didn't have anyone to call or anyone who could help him or whatever. And he was like, you know, "Can you give me a ride?" You know, he was actually going to go walk on his own. And then his girlfriend said, "Well, can I come too? Because I don't want to sit here by myself." And she's actually not from Tulsa. And I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. Jump in." Now, I'm not saying, you know, I had a good feeling, you know, understand, if I had a bad feeling about it, I'm not jumping in my car, okay, but, you know, I had a good feeling about it, you know, and I was able to talk with them and find out, different things or whatever. And they're like, you know, thank you for being so nice. You know, it actually, they had money for fuel. I would have bought their gas too, you know, because, you know, just, you know, but you know, they had money and for that. And so I didn't say anything about a minister. I didn't say anything about, I'm a Christian. I didn't say anything about anything. I'm just being a nice guy. I'm just thinking, you know, what if it was me and I was there? You know, and now I will say this, you know, the car they were driving was a fairly nice car, so it wasn't like they were driving up some bit, and not that really mattered 100%, but you know, I could tell that it was kind of cold too. I'm just being a nice guy, you know, and so I took him back, and on when we got almost right back to the thing, then I told him my name's Craig. I didn't, that's all I said. But then I actually introduced myself. I said, I'm a pastor at Rainbow Bible Church. And said, you know where Rainbow is? And they did, because we have Christmas lights and they've been there before. And I said, if you get an opportunity, you know, come out sometime. Because they were actually, he was going to try to pay me or for gas. But I don't want any gas. I don't need anything. I said, you know what? But man, if you ever got an opportunity, you know, love to have you come and visit our church. You know, left it with that. You know, but so the thing about it is, you know, this guy's always going to think highly, you know, more highly of Christians, more highly of somebody, you know, because I was willing to help somebody out, you know, during a time in need. You know, and it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, you know, it took a few extra minutes to drive, you know, a mile and a half up the street to get some fuel. You know, but I had an opportunity to talk to someone I would never probably ever talk to. You know, and it turned out that guy was actually from Tulsa, and the girl was from Phoenix. They had met. He actually had gone to a rehab out there, and so he was talking about some stuff. You know, and he said, you know, I turned my life around and things. And so it's just awesome just to be a blessing to people. You know, but sometimes we see somebody, you know, in need, and we're like, man, I'm busy. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know. And, you know, I don't know what's ever going to come of it, but the thing about it, I had an opportunity to be a nice person to help somebody out during a time of need because they couldn't get a hold of them in their family or what. Now, once I got them back to their family members, finally showed up, you know, but no, they didn't. It was too late because they were all busy or whatever. You know what? But maybe you can be a Peter and John to someone's life. You know, it's not that hard because, you know, Jesus loves everybody. If we're a follower of Christ, then, you know, he wants us to love everyone too. You know, so just be more mindful of other people. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. But Father God, we thank you that you'll help us to be more mindful of people that are around about us, people that are hurting, people that are going through stuff. And Father, help us to be a light to a dark world. Help us to be there, to be a person that we need to be a, you know, a Christian person. But Father God, help us understand what we have on the inside that is so awesome, and we could share that with the world. But Father, we thank you, if anyone is here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you say, Craig, you know, you've been talking about Jesus, but I don't know him. If you don't know him, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here tonight, you say, Craig, at one time I walked in with the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away, and I want to come back home and make him Lord of my life again. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see the hands. Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here and not saved, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will come to the flourishing of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, do we have anyone here that does need healing in their body? Anyone that needs healing? You know, Jesus wants us healed, amen? And so if you're here and you need healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. If it's something big or something small, it doesn't matter. If you have the flu or you know, the flu's been running around here, you know, a lot. But it's not God's will for us to have the flu. Amen? Amen. Anyone else need healing? Amen. Well, yeah, come on down. See, sometimes people are afraid to be the first one, you know, but Pam's already down here, so you won't be the first one. And she's not embarrassed by doing anything. She don't mind being the first one to do anything, you know. So, amen. Is it, you need to pray for you or for somebody else? All right.
He's 35.
What's your son's name? Robbie. All right, I want to ask everyone to pray for Robbie. And if you didn't hear, her son's been battling addiction for a long time. Oh, it's from prayer cloth. Actually, you know what? We have other prayer cloths. We'll, as well. No, that's fine. Is this for Robbie? Can we go get a prayer cloth for Robbie? Can you grab me another prayer cloth? Sorry. You know, if you didn't hear what he said, is Robbie's been battling addiction for a long time. And then was it last night he fell?
Last night he fell on a long board.
You ever know what a long board is, guys? It's a long skateboard. You know, just to kind of tell Pam that I know someone who fell on a long board on cement and passed away. I mean, you know, a young man. And so he's fortunate that he didn't. He landed on grass and not on cement. And so, amen. But let's pray for Robbie. As we do, also, I have some other prayer cloths here. We'll pray for Robbie first, and then
the enemy has tried to. Amen. Broke his neck. Has tried to kill him several.
All right. Amen. Father God, we thank you for Robbie. Thank you for his life. And Father, we thank you right now for touching his body, for healing him of this situation, that from this accident, Father. But Father, we thank you that you have your hand upon his life. And we thank you, Father, right now. We come against the power of Satan. We come against that addiction. We come, Satan, you have no trouble. You have no right, no authority. In the name of Jesus, we command you to leave him alone. We thank you, Father, that addiction will go. We thank you, Father, for a complete restoration in his body. And we just thank you, Father, right now in advance. As we lay our hands upon this cloth, we thank you. It's laid upon his body that it shall be healed. We thank you, Father, it shall be set free. We thank you, Father, for helping him all the days of life, fulfilling what you have for him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stretch your hands out. We have more prayer cloth. I'm not sure what some of these are for, but I have also a faith friend. One of my Facebook friends wrote me on the way here. His son is in the hospital. He's in Kentucky, and he has an infection in his body, and they don't know what it is or you know how to get rid of it right now, but it's that infection going through his body and affecting his heart, his lungs, all his major organs, and so obviously he needs to get rid of that. I don't actually know how old he is or anything, but he's in a children's hospital. Tend to think he's probably a younger man. His name is Malachi. All right, and then we have some other prayer cloths for general healing. Stretch your hands out toward the cloth. Father God, we just thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you do love us and you care about us. And Father God, as we lay our hands upon these cloths, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into these bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, for life-changing experience. We thank you, Father, for Malachi. We thank you, Father, right now, whatever this infection is, it has to go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that it will leave. It will be dried up. We thank you, Father, for a complete healing in his body and all these bodies. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. One more thing. If you're a first-time visitor, we have our connection team in the aisle, and they have a gift for you. So just, we invite you to go with them as we're dismissed, and they're going to give you that gift. And we want to invite you to come back. We have service every Sunday night here at 6 p.m., usually about 6 p.m. to like 7:15. We're a little later tonight. But also, a little homework is that, you know, be more mindful of other people. You know, as you live, as you go to work, as you walk around the mall, as you go through the park, or as it's getting nicer outside, you know, be more mindful of other people. And, you know, and maybe be their Peter and John. Amen. You know, and I tell you what, you know, it's not, we don't do things for brownie points, but you know what? It makes you feel really well, really, really awesome to be a light to someone's life. Amen. Amen. Well, wait, we dismiss around here. We sing a song. I'll be back at that door to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door out there. You can go that way. All right. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful week.